sing this with me. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope in your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, in your presence, Lord.
Sing it out, Holy Spirit.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In your presence, Lord.
Sing, I've tasted and seen.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone,
only in your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your praise.
Sing it again.
Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the
become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of.
There's a freedom here right now.
Let us become more aware of your presence.
If you want it, you better sing.
Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence.
last time. Sing Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be
anymore. I feel like sometimes we feel like when we finally say that prayer and accept Jesus for who he is, that somehow we can do everything on our own because we're saved by his blood. But we need God just as much as any other sinner does. We need God just as more. And we're still just as lost without him. We've started an entire new life when we get saved. And we've got to realize that we need Jesus just as more. We need Jesus even more because the calling that he has on our life is way too great for us to do it alone. We need God so much. And we feel like we don't need him anymore just because now we have a calling. And we might know what that calling is. And now we think we can do it on our own and we just can't. We can't do it on our own. Our power is in our surrender to God. Our power is in surrender to you, Jesus.
Teach my song to rise to you. When
temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Teach my song to rise to you.
Rise to you.
When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
I'll fall on you.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
At your feet, Father God.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay. 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 Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
This next song, while we're singing, I just want you to realize the power of God, the power of the Lamb of God. I just want you to imagine Him engulfing you in everything that He is, which is far more than we can think. But anyway, I just want you to sing this song with everything that you have, everything inside of you.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins. Behold the Son of God, in Him is everything.
Sing it with me.
Behold the who takes away our sins. Behold the Son of God. In Him is everything.
Sing it again.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Son of God, in Him is
one more time. In Him is everything.
In Him is everything. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin.
Yeah.
Talk to Him this morning. Come on, talk to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. We worship You. Thank You for forgiving us. Thank You for the blood, Jesus. Thank You for restoring us, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You pursued us when we would be unpursuable. Thank You, Jesus, that You have never given up on us in any situation in our life. Thank You that You are present in every time of trouble. Thank You, Jesus, that in the midnight hour when we talk, we're not talking to a ceiling. Heaven is opening up and being released into our lives. We behold You, Lamb of God. Thank You for all You've done to reunite us with the Father. Today we don't stand here in a religious organization. We stand here in your house as your sons and your daughters, lifting our holy hands without wrath and malice, and declaring that you are truly our God, our Savior, our Lord, the Alpha and Omega, in the beginning and the end. We honor you this morning, Jesus, with our lips and with our hearts. We say we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, tell him you love him. Tell him you love him this morning. Tell him you love him this morning. This is your opportunity. Come on, tell him you love him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is healing some people this morning. There's a person on your left hand. On the palm, just where your thumb is pain in that area. I don't know what it is, but God's touching you right now in Jesus' name. There's another person, your right middle knuckle, on the right hand on the middle knuckle, God is healing your knuckle in the name of Jesus. There's another person in your left thigh, your right thigh, about 4 inches down, right down dead center, just a tad bit off to the left. God is healing your muscle right now, restoring the tear in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you care about every need. Is somebody here having, I don't know if it's your heart or it's your ribs, but it's your left-hand side. Go heart level right over to the rib side in the name of Jesus. Whatever the cause is, I command you to leave their body right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful to us. Lord, you are not only our Savior. We thank you for the five people that gave their hearts to Jesus last week. God, we give you honor for their lives. Lord, we pray for them that the devil will not steal the seed. We protect it in Jesus' name. We celebrate their eternity. God, we celebrate their growth in you. God, we declare the devil cannot have their life in the name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, I said everybody in agreement said, amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks you don't know. Don't just turn around and sit down. Please don't sit down. Turn around and find somebody you don't know and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Come on, you've got 20 some odd seconds. Make sure you say hello to somebody this morning. Don't be a snob. If you're already sitting, turn around to the person in back of you and say, good morning. Three, two, one.
Ladies, Women's Encounter was designed just for you to have an encounter with God. The next one is October 27th through 29th. The cost is $325. Get your deposit to me as soon as possible. It's the only way I can save your spot. You can find me on Sunday morning or email me at carla@histabernacle.com. Pastor Jade, did you know that God danced the day you were born?
I did, but you know what? I think he danced more the day Pastor Rhonda was born. HT, we have a very special announcement for you today. Pastor Rhonda's birthday is coming up. Make sure to come prepared with your birthday blessings for the mother of the house.
And plan on staying after service for cake and a birthday party.
Be there.
Are you ready? Is everybody ready for Rock the City? What an amazing, exciting event that is going to be for His Tabernacle Family Church and our region. I'm so excited about it. You know what? We have only three His Tabernacle Family Church stickers left. Marcus, if you'll hold them, first three that grabs them, get them. Who would like a His Tabernacle Family Church sticker for your car? There we go. Young man running from the front. Very good. One more left. That's it. Just one more, and it's gone. Glory to God. We'll have Pastor Dan order some more, whoever is in charge of that department. We want to welcome all of our guests. If you look around, you'll see there's a lot of empty chairs this morning. We want you to know it's all right. Everybody's on vacation. Even three of our staff members with their entire families are out on vacation. We've got 2 weeks left. This is the last part of the summer. It's amazing. Let me share with you a pastor's point of view. We don't like summers. We don't like summers. We know everybody needs a vacation. Turn to someone and say, you need a vacation. If you haven't had one, you only got, what, 2 weeks left? Man, grab a vacation before it's too late. But this is where the pastors say, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. But this is where you have an opportunity to actually bring your friends, is room. So make sure you bring somebody that you know needs Jesus. You know what? This morning is a message that every sinner would love. And, you know, this one that would... It would actually heal hearts of people. And I pray that if maybe you know somebody that you haven't brought, maybe you can get on the phone right now and make a call and say, you know what? I'd love to invite you to second service. I'll sit with you. You want people that have been disillusioned, disenfranchised, people that have lost hope in God's kingdom to be in this next service. You'll see it when we're done. But I pray that you'll bring them next service. A great opportunity for them to be born again. Last week, four people gave their hearts to Jesus on Sunday services. Come on, don't let the angels outshout you. And a man gave his heart to Jesus on Saturday. So five people gave their heart to the Lord last week. That doesn't include the children or the youth or the young adults. I just want to give God praise. He's adding to His kingdom daily. That's our goal, isn't it? Our goal is to see people added to the kingdom of God daily. Some people say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, it's kind of sparse here. I just want you to know, last year we grew 100 people on an average on a Sunday morning. And I don't know, I just think that that's great growth. Don't you think so? That's great growth. 100 new souls that are consistent every single Sunday morning. I'm excited what the Holy Ghost is doing, how He's changing lives, how He's changing us. Turn to someone and say, God's changing me. Amen. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If you're a first-time guest, we'd love to welcome you, celebrate you. We're not going to make you stand and do anything weird, but we do have a gift for you. So if you're a first-time guest, if you'll raise your hand, we want to bring you a gift. Bring it right to your chair. If there are any first-time guests this morning at His Tabernacle Family Church and First Service, oh, I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. We promise not to embarrass you. No guests. That means all those folks that are, this is your home, you need to bring somebody to Jesus. Amen? They're not going to walk in the door. How many of you know that people will drive by here all the time and they could care less unless their Carl, who thought it was an auction house, came down and gave his heart to Jesus? Carl, you're the only one I know that did that. And I just want to say, make sure you're inviting people. They will come if you invite them. Well, Pastor, I've invited four or five of my friends. They won't come. Then invite four or five more. They'll come. Amen? Bring somebody. You'll never get more high than when you see one of your friends or family members give their hearts to Jesus. It changes everything. It's so exciting. Now, we also want to welcome, I know we have a lot of folks this morning on live stream. Can we give live stream a hand clap this morning? I know Florida's represented. The Carolinas are represented. Virginia's represented. California is represented. We have a bunch of folks all over the nation and all over the world right now that are watching on live stream. And let's just give them one more hand clap. We love you. Thank you so much for being our online family. Listen, if you're able, make sure you're here in the house. It's the anointing is stronger when you're in the house. Amen. How many of you can testify to that? You've watched live stream before and it's good, but nothing like being in the house. Amen. So we just want to celebrate you all and let you know we love you. We're here for you. Rock the City is in just in a few weeks. How many of you are excited about that? I'm excited about Rock the City. Here's my beautiful wife.
Tess, we have a testimony of God's goodness this morning.
Hi, everyone. My name's Tess, for those of you who don't know me. Anyone who has been here in the last year probably doesn't know me because I've been away, and that's actually what I want to talk about. I've grown up in this house for about 12 years now, but last year after I graduated from Corning Community College, I left and went to Oklahoma City to a Bible college there, and a lot of people have been asking me every week, like, where have you been? What are you doing? When do you leave? And so I figured I would just tell everybody. But I've been doing a Bible college / internship program at a church called Church of the Harvest, and I've gotten to go through all these different ministries and take college classes. And one of the biggest things that we do is we put on a summer camp. And that's really what I want to talk about the most this last summer. For 7 weeks, we worked a summer camp that was the same thing for 7 weeks, but over 1,000 people came through every week that were new. And so total, it was 5,500 students, not including leaders or staff, that came total. I think we had something like 1,200 to 1,800 salvations and rededications of teenagers. That's not like people who grew up in church. These are like 12 to 18 year old kids. We had pastors rededicate themselves to their ministries who wanted to quit. We had us as college students got to grow so much. And so I really just wanted to tell you these things and share what I've been doing to give you guys some hope that what's happening in this house and the seeds that you're planting in children's ministry and in Uproar, those things are being watered, and those kids like myself are growing up and we're going out and chasing our calling. So if you think that coming to this house and serving in your ministries and tithing and all of that, it might seem like something that's not that big of a deal, and you might even think you don't want to do it anymore, but you are planting seeds into people, and I am a living testimony of this house and the good work that's coming from it. And I just want all of you to know that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing and be where I am and serving the way that I am and growing the way that I am if it weren't for this house and this family who raised me up. And so I just want to thank my pastors, Cody and Mindy, and everybody who's poured into me. But just keep in mind that every time you run into a kid here who might be, you know, giving you a hard time, or a bus kid that you just can't stand, keep in mind that someday they might be going out to Bible college and they might be coming back. And I also just want to let everyone know that I do have another year, but I am coming home. Everyone's asking me. I have one more year of Bible college. I leave on Tuesday, and then I'm coming home, and you guys will get to see even more of what God's doing in my life and through me. And for this year, I'll be serving in the youth ministry there primarily and helping with one of the campuses. So I'll be learning a lot and getting to put to work everything that you've taught me and everything that I've been grown up in. And it's a huge testimony. So I want you guys to know that what you do doesn't go to waste.
Amen. Actually, just stay right here real quick. We actually have some of our young people that are starting college right now. If you're starting college or Bible school, could you just stand up real quickly? Come on. I know you're starting college. I talked to several. Okay. It is so awesome. The scripture that I read this morning is that some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as rebuilders of walls and restorers of homes. We are rebuilding in our community. We are building strong. We are now in our third generation. You see, we have our children that have grown up and gone out. And look at these. Oh, I just, what a perfect week for worship. These are our young adults. Isaiah's getting ready to go and do a worship at a church in New Jersey. This is from your seeds. This is from your hard work. This is from your labors. We are building a legacy in this community, a changed culture that will go to 100 generations and beyond if Jesus tarries. And that is because of you and your giving. Thank you, Tess.
I do want to say something. Sometimes we forget that it's an integral part. Everybody plays such an important part in the kingdom of God. And today I just want to focus on two men. And they have no clue it's happening. I'd like John Prince and Michael Cox to come up front real quickly. They both hate this. They really do. They hate this. But these are the first two beautiful faces you see when you drive in the driveway.
Come on, give them a better
come
applause
on now.
Than that. Staff.
These men are in the parking
staff,
lot every single...
Church staff, come on, let's appreciate this, no people. Idea.
Honestly, sometimes we forget, but you know, every one of you plays such an important role in the kingdom of God here, every one of you. And you might think that you don't have a place that's respectful. Let me tell you something. These men, they set the tone for the service. And you know what's amazing is there are many times it's been so bad out, I've said, please pull the guys in the parking lot out. And these guys won't leave the parking lot. In the freezing, frigid cold, all the way to the rain that's pounding down, they're out there welcoming you when you come in your car. And I just want to say thank you to these two great men of God and release a blessing to them. Amen? Thank you both. Sometimes we just forget that every one of us plays such an important role in the kingdom. And some of you are saying, well, I don't really do anything. Isn't this the time to do something? You can change lives from the parking lot all the way. We used to have a man that literally, he emptied the garbage every Thursday. No one knew he did it. He waited till everybody was gone Thursday night, emptied all the garbage. And someone would say, well, you know, that's nice. No, no, that's awesome. Because some of you are glad that the rooms don't stink. Every one of you plays such a massive part in fulfilling God's purposes. And as this house grows, as God's kingdom continues to grow here, that means that every one of us have to do and work in the kingdom. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. Amen. Now we do it the right way. Don't be a slug. Amen. Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. What an honor. It is absolutely an honor for Pastor and I to pastor this community. We love you all so much, and it is so incredibly exciting, isn't it, to be a part of these generations and watching them raise up. If you do not have your children in youth group, you should have your children in youth group. This is what it's producing, having your children in youth ministry. So make sure as a family, and it's an entire family, that you are plugged into the house of God and serving and loving God's kingdom, because we're passing this from our generation down to the next generation and to the next generation and to the next generation. And it's exciting to be a part of that. Today, as we give our tithes and offerings, this is a significant part of our week. I don't ever want to be a church that hides our tithe and offerings. I'm not putting a box as you exit the door or hiding a basket as it goes through the seats. We're going to put our baskets at the altar, and we're going to bring our tithe with joy to our King and bless his name. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, it tells us the Lord actually institutes how to give in Deuteronomy 26, and it talks about bringing the baskets to the altar and bringing your tithe with joy, because we know when we honor God in obedience to his word that tells us to tithe, which is 10% of our income, then we know blessing and favor are going to be all over our finances. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed out begging for bread. Never. When you are a good steward and you tithe, God blesses. So this time is a significant time in our service. It is an exciting time. It's a time where we get to set God as the owner. I'm declaring God is the owner of all of my finances, and I'm going to honor him with the little 10% that he asks for. I'm going to honor him and declare him as owner. So let's stand to our feet as we take this time and make it significant. We're going to repeat our supernatural declaration that then comes in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it says, if I obey, oh, come on, let's prophesy this. If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings as we declare Christ the King and Owner. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and you can declare him King and Owner right where you are.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad nothing is impossible for Jesus? Amen. You don't have a problem. Have faith in God. Shout that out loud with me. I don't have a problem. Have faith in God. And that's the message of hope. And I don't know about you. I'm excited about hope. Amen. I'm excited that my God's not dead and he is alive. This morning we're going to receive another offering. I told you we're going to start last week. We're going to do it for the next 2 to 3 weeks. On Rock the City, my wife and I sowed $1,000. I'm believing God that there'll be at least 19 other folks that will sow and come and match with us. And we know it's a significant seed, and also it is a sacrifice. And seeing souls saved costs. Can I hear an amen? So I know some of you can give more. Praise the Lord. 10,000 starts with a T-E-N. Amen. And if you want to do a million, we'll make sure that gets dispersed well. M-I-L-L-I-O-N. Amen. But we're believing the Lord, and we know this, that everybody's at a different location in their finances, but every one of us in this room who this is your home, you should be sowing financially towards this Rock the City. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Some of you can sow more, some of you can sow less. But the Holy Spirit knows exactly. So what we're asking is that you will simply be obedient to the Holy Ghost. Amen? And if the Lord tells you to give significant, and that's great. If he tells you to give little. I remember one time I was at a meeting, and the evangelist stood up, the pastor stood up, and he said, I need everyone to give, I think it was $125. And if you do, I'm going to pray a special prayer over you. I was so mad because I had every dollar in my pocket was 20. I had not even a dollar more. And you know what? I felt so angry that he said he'll do a special prayer for those who would give a hundred and some odd, but yet I wouldn't get a prayer, but I'm giving my all. Well, I want to remind you that Jesus doesn't look at how much you give, but what you give. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? What do you mean, what you give? What means in obedience to him? It has nothing to do with amount. It's obedience. And God's going to speak to every one of you in this room of some significance. And whether you're young or you're old, this is the time to learn to sow. Can I hear an amen? And so I challenge you. We're going to pass out the envelopes right now, if they're not already out. Does everybody have one who doesn't? Who would like one? There's none out. Very good. I need the ushers. If you would like a seed offering this morning, raise your hand up. The folks are coming around. If you did not come ready, we're going to be doing this for the next 2 weeks. And so I'm believing the Lord that every dime, every need that we have will be taken care of. Not for us. We're not doing anything for our own house. This is to reach people for Jesus Christ in the month of September. Amen? So can you pray with me? Oh, we're doing? Yes. Yep. Oh, that's the one we gave, right?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't. Oh, yeah. Significant. Amen? If you're ready to give, let's stand right up to your feet. You can all stand to your feet. Hallelujah. If you have nothing to give, the Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. That means you need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you seed this week. Amen? And he'll give it so that you can give. Father, we bless the seed for Rock the City. We declare, God, that no devil in hell is going to take this region in Jesus' name. We declare and proclaim even what Billy Sunday said. I came to Elmira to kick him out. We declare, Father, the devil can't have our children. They cannot have, oh God, our financial area. God, they cannot have our families. God, the devil cannot have our region. Lord, your church, the salt and the light, are strong. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and we will proclaim your gospel. Thank you for the privilege of preaching, Lord, in Grove Park in September. And we declare, God, that your word will penetrate, break down, and kick the devil out of Elmira. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come and give this morning. Yeah, you can do that. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I love the fact of learning how to grow in Jesus. One thing that I love about his tabernacle is you are very generous people. Turn to someone and say, we are the generous church. That is no lie. You are a generous church. And I'm excited to be part of and to be your pastor here at His Tabernacle Family Church. And my wife and I, we brag all the time on you. In fact, what's amazing is we don't even have to brag. Any guest that ever comes to this house sits back and says, what an amazing church, Pastor. It is so rare across the country to find a church like this. And we are blessed. Turn to someone and say, we are blessed. Keir was down in Scranton. You were down in Scranton over a year, right, Keir? Down over a year in Scranton, she didn't even find a church, anything like this down there. In fact, many of them were so small-pocketed that they didn't even have any outreach or anything. So we are blessed this morning. I just want to say how blessed we are to participate with you in the vision of God. Amen? Open your Bibles with me this morning to the verse for the year. It's Psalms 1, verse 3. How many of you know that this is the year of? Kingdom seed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's another quiet voice right over here, Brother Kenny Mayhood. We just love Brother Kenny. Can you give Brother Kenny Mayhood a hand clap this morning? He does sound. A lot of our media team is gone this week, and so he's doing media, and he changes diapers of his grandchild. And he works full time. And wow, what a great guy. We just love Brother Kenny Mayhood. Amen. Amen. We just can't forget all the hands that make this house work. Psalms 1 verse 3 makes the declaration that says this. You shall be like a tree. Shout, I'm a tree. which means you were once a seed. If you were a seed, that means that God watered you. For one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. God says, you were once a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. That's the Holy Ghost, who brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither. That means when dry times come in your life, you don't have to be one like the first people of the world that bend over and seem to wither up and die. But you are a son and daughter of the Most High King. Can I hear an amen? I said, God is on your side. Can I hear an amen? There's nothing you can't do. Can I hear an amen? If God is for you, who can be against you? This is not religion. This is relationship with the one who said, let there be, and there was. And the Bible says that your leaf shall not wither, and whatever you do shall I love prosperity. Now listen, if you don't believe that, then you've got to ask yourself a question. What is wrong with you?
Well, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel, Brother Spencer.
Yes, you do. I can prove it. When your boss offers you a raise, you take it. Don't tell me you don't believe in prosperity. Prosperity simply means increase. God wants you to increase, not decrease, except in you decreasing so he can increase. Amen? The Lord wants to show himself through you, and he shows himself through the blessings of heaven. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 11 makes a declaration, and it's found in the Message Bible. I don't use the Message Bible often, but I believe that the way this says it is just so powerful. We've been talking about our words, our seed, and how every word that we speak is literally we are going to participate with a harvest. So if you are struggling with sickness and disease, and you're always saying, well, I've got this disease, or I've got that disease. I've had people come up for prayer, and they say, well, I've got arthritis. I said, well, then you keep it. Jesus said he took it on the cross. Amen? I said, Jesus said he took it on the cross. Amen? So it's not your disease, it's his disease. Jesus, I thank you that by your stripes I was healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus. Well, Pastor, I just don't see a lot happening in my life. And you won't, because of the words that you just proclaimed. You planted seeds of death in your life, and you cannot be shocked of the harvest that you participate with. Well, my marriage stinks. I don't like my spouse, and you'll probably get divorced. Because the more you speak death to your marriage, the more it will die, and then soon you will walk away. There's a time to recognize that every word out of our mouth is filled with power. Every word out of our mouth is literally creating our future. Every word in our mouth is literally perpetuating a harvest that we will eat from. Now, the Bible says this, not me. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. I don't know about you. You can't say that any plainer than that. We are the ones that choose. We are the ones that determine whether we're going to have poison or whether we're going to have passion fruit. Whether we're going to be people that are going to be sitting on the vine and drying up, or we're going to be people that will be flourishing in the middle of the storm. This is where you and I as believers have the power of God. This is what I love about who you and I are. I always ask certain questions when I'm getting ready to preach a message. And number one question I always ask is, how would Jesus preach this? The second question is, how will it apply to the lives to make us more like Christ? If it doesn't fit in those two categories, then I won't preach the message. And the message of our words as being seeds, literally, Christ lived it because he only spoke the words that the Father told him to speak. With that, Christ, even in the midst of trial and tribulation, even in the midst of the storm, he could sleep on the bow of the boat knowing that even the disciples were freaking out. Why? Because he knew his Father, the words of the Father, were go to the other side. When you get the words of the Father in your spirit, it does not matter what man says. It doesn't matter what circumstances say. It doesn't matter as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. It has nothing to do with what we're preaching this morning. The next part of seed that I want to talk about is a part that is, let's be honest, from pulpit to pew, every one of us have participated with. Every single one of us are guilty of being hurt by gossip and hurting somebody with gossip. Shout, I've got it, and I've given it. And this morning, we want to talk about it. Because gossip is a horrific, foul, diabolical placement of Lucifer's design within the body of Christ. There's a need for us to lay hold of this truth, because if not, then we're going to slay people all over the church. We're going to kill people all over the church and wonder what happened. How many of you ever caught yourself gossiping? Those who did not raise their hands, it means that you're not paying attention. It means maybe it's too normal for you. See, when you don't catch yourself, then it might be just so normal that it's a normal conversation. How many of you ever walked into a room and all of a sudden you recognize that people are gossiping about somebody that you know? As they're gossiping, how many of you are thrown in with them? Am I the only honest one in the room? How many of you felt conviction the moment you started doing that? You felt embarrassed and said, what am I doing? Because remember, if they're willing to gossip with you, they're going to be willing to gossip about you. See, words of life and words of death should not be coming out of the same fountain. James chapter 3. People have been completely destroyed by the power of gossip. We all know this statement, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me, is not true. In almost 30 years of ministry, the majority of counseling that I've had to do has to do with the root problem of words. It's very little hands and fists. It's very little knives and guns. It's usually the power of words. In fact, when you start really talking about marriages, one of the things that I found about marriages is the little foxes ruin the vines. It's these little words that people say within their marriage that start tearing down, start destroying their marriage. It's words. You see, this is something that we've got to truly pay attention with, because if we do not, then God can grow his house, but will continue to destroy people and they'll leave. How many of you know that God's house is supposed to be a house of safety? How many of you know you're God's house? Say it again. How many of you know that God's house is supposed to be a place of safety? You see, when we talk about that, we think about this as God's house. But the Bible says that you and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost. People are supposed to be safe with us. But what happens is we get into this mode to where we actually somehow conspire in our own brain set and say that we're better than somebody else. Therefore, we have the right to tear them down. We've got to sit back and say to ourselves, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You see, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8 says this, that what dainty morsels rumors are, but they sink deep into one's heart. Gossip is a big deal. Our words sink deep into somebody else's heart. Listening to gossip's a lot like eating candy. It really is. It's a lot like eating candy. By the way, this is the Message Bible. Gossip is a lot like candy, but do you really want that in your belly? You see, we gossip so easily, and so many times it's so easy to look at how many other people have issues in their life. How many of you know that people around you have issues? How many of you know you have maybe a little bit more? How many of you know that it's harder to look at your own when you're staring at somebody else's? And this is the very root when we get into the power of words and the power of gossip. Now listen, one thing about gossip that you need to know is gossip can be true or false. Everyone thinks of gossip as, well, you know, they're spreading rumors. They're lying about something. No, no, no. I've seen gossip be truth. So gossip is not only that you're just telling a lie about somebody, but it's about telling a truth about somebody that you have no right to speak about. What is gossip? Here's a definition. When we're talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. We start talking to somebody about somebody else. And they're not part of the situation. They're not part of the solution. Then why are you talking to them about that?
Well, I'm asking them for prayer.
No, you're not. You're talking behind their back. And it won't fix them. Why? Because the person you're communicating to has no part of the problem or the solution. So what are you actually doing? You see, it gives a high, almost. You know, it makes us feel important, almost. It makes us feel happy, almost, to look at somebody else's problems and issues and to tear them down and to make ourselves feel better. I want you to recognize that Christ did not say, tear somebody down so that I might lift you up. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, then the Lord will lift us up. What does it mean to be humble? I must decrease, so Christ must increase. And that means we all recognize we all have issues. We all have situations in our lives, whether they be quirks or character flaws, that we need God to work on and to change and to challenge. You know what's amazing is the older you become in the gospel, the more mature you become in the kingdom, the more you recognize that it's not the big things, it's the small things. You know, there are folks that get saved and they were drinkers and they were smokers and they were tokers and they were screwing around. They give their hearts to Jesus. They stop jumping from bed to bed. They stop the drinking. They stop the smoking. And everybody goes, now they're righteous. Amy Bishop's father is my greatest story. He was riding in the car with his pastor. And the pastor looked at Norman and said, Norm, when you stop smoking, God will use you. And Norm looked at his pastor and said, Pastor, when you stop being a glutton, God will use you. See, we all look at somebody else's problems as ours being less than. But it has nothing to do with less than. It has to do with God's working on every one of us in a different place, in a different dimension. And we've got to be willing to be builders and not destroyers. And gossip never builds. Gossip only destroys. Can I hear an amen? You see, this is where we sit back as believers and we have to make a decision that I choose to not plant death. I choose to plant life. You know, one of the things that I love that God puts in my life is God puts people that I disciple in my life. And many times they're challenging. And some people have given up on them. But you know what it does to me? It just spurs me on. And what you'll always hear me say, you know, remember we talked about last week, sometimes a rebuke is always good. Can I hear an amen? A rebuke is good because it's from the Word of God. Anything from the Word of God will bring life. Even if it doesn't feel comfortable. But what I love when I'm able to speak to these young men is not tearing them down. It's building them up. It's speaking life to them. Because many times you'll find that very few people in this room ever have anybody speaking life to them. Usually only death. You're not going to walk into a worldly office and everybody's going to go, boy, you know, we just love your hair today. Well, they might be saying that. And then you're dead on your way out. My wife used to work at an office. Filled with ladies, and she said, that was the most horrific thing. She said, I'd be sitting at my desk. She very rarely opened her mouth, and she said, all of a sudden, a woman would walk out of the office, and they would just decimate her, cut her up, destroy her with gossip, talking behind her back, tail-bailing, just saying horrible things, and my wife said, I always felt bad when I left because I knew I was next. Gossip is so powerful, it literally destroys lives. And in churches, it's really, you know, you would think that it wouldn't be here. But actually, in every church, there's lines of gossip. There are certain people that, as a pastor, we know that that's usually where gossip begins. It's really kind of funny. Everyone just, they don't realize that after a while you get identified for your fruits. Come on now, show who you are. And usually you have maybe two or three folk in the body of Christ who just love to gossip. They love to get a bit of information about somebody's life, and then they'll just chew them up, spit them out, and tell everybody they know. And you know what's amazing about that? Is their lives are usually a living hell. Their lives are the ones that are most in disorder. Their lives are the ones that their marriages are in trouble, their homes are in trouble, their lives are in trouble, their bodies are in trouble. Why? Because you cannot expect to live blessing when you're giving cursing. You cannot expect to be a person that's going to plant death and therefore yield a crop of blessing. Every word that goes out of our mouths, whether it's blessing or cursing, produces the harvest that you and I will participate with. And we can fight it, we can complain about it, we can whine to God about it, but we've got to look at our lives and say, Lord, what am I allowing to escape out of my mouth that is planting seeds of a harvest that I truly do not want to participate with? Now, in churches, it's really, really cute. If I could have my two guys come for examples. You know, we look at, yeah, come on up, guys. Come on over here. Pastor Cody and Donnie, you know, they've decided to participate. And what we find is this, is that, you know, when people start gossiping, they don't recognize how much damage they're actually able to cause. How many of you have ever been affected by gossip? You know what? You might have smiled when you heard about it just because you didn't want anybody to see your weakness. But inside, you're wounded. Inside, you're hurt. You see, you can't always tell. Here we are, we're standing here chatting, and Pastor Cody brings up, well, you know, did you hear about Lance? What about Lance, Donnie says. He said, well, Lance, you know, he's out drinking every weekend and partying. Man, he's been like with five different girls this week. What a pig. And Donnie goes, yeah, he's a pig. And then Cody decides to walk away. Well, what's amazing about that is Donnie and I are still here. And Donnie says to me, he goes, yeah, you know, that Cody, he talks about everybody else, but he's got a lot of issues too. My goodness, his life is really messed up. And you see, again, those who are willing to gossip with you have no problem gossiping about you. And so Donnie turns around to walk away. You know, what's amazing is you look at that and it paints something pretty because it feels pretty to the people who are doing it. But what we don't really realize is what it actually causes. Come on out here, guys. You were hoping I didn't have it anymore, huh? No. Come on over here. Right here. Turn around. Lift your shirts. Now you see, oh no, keep it up, Donnie. One, two, three. And you know, if you played paintball any period of time, tomorrow these would be purple. But you see, from the outside, you can't see that. You can't see the wound you're creating. You can't see the pain that you're causing. But whether you can see it or not, there's always a result to seed. Because life is in seed. So you see, every time we gossip, We might think, well, you know, I'm not hurting anybody. It was just like everybody knew. But is it your business to say? Is it going to help them? Is it going to build them? Is it actually anybody's business? Sometimes we got to mind our own stinking business. Will you turn to someone and say, will you mind your own business? Thank you, guys. Come on, tell somebody else, mind your own business. You know, I'm just so concerned about Lance. I heard that this is happening in his life. Gossip. Did you hear about Lance? We should pray about him. Gossip. You see, when we recognize what gossip is, then we recognize, number one, that we shouldn't do it. Turn to someone and say, you shouldn't be a gossip. Tell somebody else, mind your own stinking business. The book of Romans chapter 1 verse 29 says this, and even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice shall, I'm not a practicer, who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice. Now watch this. The Bible takes gossip and backbiting and places it right next to haters of God. Like, he didn't say, well, you know, this is a lesser thing, this is a worser thing. Worser. This is better, this is gooder. No. When he placed backbiters and whisperers, which means gossipers, he placed them right next to evil-mindedness and haters of God. See, this is why the church world, let's be honest, there are many churches that are filled with so much gossip, a sinner could not dare, would not dare to walk in the building because they'd be afraid of what somebody would say about them. One of the things about this house that we declare and decree is that no gossip is allowed here. And the reason for that is because some of you who nobody would have ever thought you would have crested the door of a church can walk through and not worry about people tearing you up. How many of you have ever been stupid before? Can you? Wow, there's a lot of hands out there. Can you imagine if every time you were stupid and you walked into church, you turned around, and everybody went, shh, shh, shh. How long would you stay? You see, that's the problem. We get in our little groups of people, people that we love and we hang around. They could even be family. They could even, I've seen it in pastors. They just sit around a table, and I've walked away from pastors eating at a table because all they were doing is tearing somebody up. And I looked and I saw the waiter or the waitress stare at them like I'm ever going to want God. This is no respecter of persons, and whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're born again one moment or 10 or 20 or 50 years, this is still a thing that we've got to identify, because the words of our mouth, when they are seeping and seeding gossip and backbiting, it is literally destroying and not building. And the Bible speaks against that. The Word of God is so strong against that. The conversation is usually whispered among trusted friends. Gossip is usually whispered. That's why anybody who whispers around me, I always call you out. Well, why? Well, because if you got to whisper, what do you got to whisper about?
That's why it's called whispers. What are you whispering about? What do you got to hide? Do you realize that if you do something in secret, usually you're hiding it? If you're hiding it, it usually means you know something's wrong with it. So when you're talking about somebody behind their back, you're usually whispering among trusted friends who you know now you cannot trust, because if they gossip with you, they'll gossip about you. There's a time to say, Jesus, I choose to obey your word and guard my mouth. I choose to give life and not death. I choose to be a seeder of life into an individual and not death into an individual. It's got quiet in here. Gossip destroys people. I'm just going to say it again. Gossip destroys people. Here are some commandments of Satan. Number 5, blessed are those who sow gossip and trouble. They are my beloved children. Number 7, blessed are those who gossip, for they are my secret agents. It's amazing that the Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. So when we start entering into gossip and backbiting and tale-bearing, then really what we're doing is we're joining the team of Lucifer. And we're saying, hey, yeah, I'm like the devil. I choose to tear down and never build up. Now listen, I want to remind you that when we're talking about biblical principle, that rebuke is not wrong. Rebuke is actually encouraging. For someone that is not corrected is no more... child's not corrected is no more than a bastard, is what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews. Means you have no parent. So discipline, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people getting around in their little groups and starting to whisper about people. When you're whispering, you know you're gossiping. When you're gossiping, you know that you're right next to God haters. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this: let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only which is building and building up and as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now listen, I'm just going to be straight. I know I am definitely not perfect at this. I do not have this one all in my pocket. I'm not running around gossiping about people, but I catch myself. Sometimes I get so embarrassed because I catch myself in a conversation. It's coming out of my mouth. It's like, what are you talking about? Shut up! Sometimes you just got to tell yourself to be quiet. It's awful easy to tell somebody else, be quiet. But sometimes we got to just tell ourselves, hey, you're getting too close to the God haters. Be quiet. Stop whispering. You know, I've watched relationships get destroyed this way. Watch. They'll go out and they'll tell everybody about the problem of their spouse. They'll tell their friends about the problems of their spouse. Well, you know, he's this or she's this and he does this and she does that. And then all of a sudden your friends are no longer for your spouse. And so every time you get around them, now they're looking at you and saying, you know, you should probably get rid of them. Well, you know, you should get a divorce. Someone will treat you better. Be careful what your mouth says. It will seed and bring forth a harvest that will destroy you. See, God has never called us to be destroyers. He called us to be restorers. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You mightn't be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down, reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. For if you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. Ooh, that's powerful, isn't it? Can I read that verse again? That is so powerful, and I'll be done here in just a few moments. Galatians 6:1, live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down, reach out to those who are oppressed, share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. Ooh, it's powerful, isn't it? Seeds will always produce a harvest. The bird can fly around your head, but you don't need it to come out your mouth. In Bible college, I was working on this, and I took a 3x5 card, and some of you I would encourage to take a 3x5 card this week. Write on the card, shut up. Boy, Pastor, that's kind of crass. Sometimes we need to be crassed. It's not a word, but I'm making up a few of them this morning. Write on there, shut up. Carry that 3x5 card in your hand all the time. Except when you go to bed. You might be saying, well, you know, that's a little, like, inconvenient. Yes! Exactly. And every time you start to open your mouth, look down at your card. Shut up. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that really we talk. Most of the words that come out of our mouth really don't plant good harvest. Not some of them, most of them. And when we become like Christ, then we can focus on speaking life to people who are lifeless. And Jesus called those things which were not as though they already are. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Not just resurrection in the aspect of raising from the dead, but you can raise somebody's dead vision. You can raise somebody's dead self-image. You can raise somebody's dead life in their own heart and their mind. You can chase out depression and discouragement by words that will bring life to somebody. It's time, instead of whispering, it's time to start shouting. And when we shout, let's shout the word of God, because the word of God will change your life. And let's be temperate enough to where the Holy Spirit, whenever we step over the bounds, can say to us, stop it, stop it. You're destroying, not building. And when we do that, come on now, when we do that, we'll find that our words can be strategic and not accidental. And we can change lives by the very words that come out of our mouths. Whenever you got to close the door and whisper, there's a problem. Let me say it one more time. I had a staff member once, this many years ago. I was sitting on my couch in my living room. It was in the afternoon. I had just left the office, and I sat on my couch. And in my spirit, I saw my two staff members. The boy got up, walked into the woman's office, and sat down at her desk. And then I heard her say, well, you know, the pastor thinks he's got all this thing, but, you know, I'm actually more spiritually mature than he is. And, you know, the pastor thinks that he really knows ministry. Well, I've been in bigger ministry and have done bigger ministry than he has. Now, I was 10 miles away. I saw him agree with her, get up, and walk back to his desk. I got on the phone. I said, hey, how was your conversation? What do you mean? I said, well, this was what was said, right? I said, you do it again, you're fired. I said, I won't tolerate disloyalty amongst my staff. And I won't tolerate gossiping about me behind my back. They didn't do it again. You see, because the Holy Spirit will convict people. And if he doesn't, he'll send somebody else to help, to save you from being a God hater. Turn to somebody and say, I have issues. Tell somebody else I'm going to mind my own stinking business. Come on, tell somebody else I'm going to mind my own stinking business. In this house, we have rules. We've got rules in this house.
Here it is. Number one, the first time we catch you gossiping, we're going to encourage you that it's non-biblical and that you should cease. The second time we catch you gossiping, I'm not going to be so nice. I'm going to strongly encourage you to change. The third time I catch you gossiping in this church, I'm going to encourage you to move on. Because the church down the street might allow it, but we don't. Can I hear an amen? We'll love them on their way out and soon and pray to see them in eternity. But you see, this is where, as a body of Christ, we are the ones that control this. Because the veins pop up usually not from the pulpit. They pop up from within the house. And you've got to ask yourself, what part do I play in whispering? Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for the words that you have given us. God, the ability to speak life. God, the ability to call those things which are not as though they already are. The ability to bring heaven to earth. The ability, oh God, to release the supernatural into the natural. We thank you, God, that we can have your words, which are creative and blessing. And that, Lord, we can have the words of Adam, which are blessing. Lord, I thank you, God, that you created us with this mindset. Father, we come against the sinful mindset of gossip and whispering. We come against the mindset of tearing other people down. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you will convict us every time we step into this ungodly act. Lord, don't let us play it down like I'm not doing a major sin or I'm not out killing somebody or doing this or doing that. Lord, I pray that each one of us will recognize that no sin is worse than the other. It always separates us from God. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. And I pray that those that are in this room this morning who might have this as a lifestyle, that God, they'll repent this morning. They'll ask you to forgive them this morning. They'll turn from their sin this morning. And God, all that aren't practicing but end up doing sometimes, that there'll be great conviction that, Father, we will be people of building and not destroying. That this house will be one that will take those that no one would ever have thought would serve you and build them to be great sons and daughters of heaven to do great and mighty works for you. Jesus, we just thank you that you have given us the blessed power of the tongue in our mouths. And that, Jesus, we choose to live it the way you did, Christ. That is, I only said what the Father has told me to say. I've only gone where the Father has told me to go. Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient and we'll be wise with our words. That, Jesus, even at work, when everybody else starts gossiping, Lord, we will turn and we will start speaking life instead of death. Lord, they might hate us, but God will still stand for you no matter what. Lord, I thank you that today you have called us to be different, not the same. And words, poison, we rebuke, and fruit we call in. That'll be a blessing to other people. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've never asked him, you've never confessed him, you've never spoken out of your mouth, I want Jesus. Today you want to ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Today we want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Today, I want to lead you to Christ. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room that needs Christ Jesus as their Savior? Oh, I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. How many of you are married in the room? I want you to hold your husband or wife accountable. Is that all right? How many of you got close friends here? How many got close friends that are born again here? I want them to hold you accountable. Now watch, that means this. When they start to gossip, say, whisper. Don't say anything else, just say, whisperer. You know what's going to happen? They're going to get mad at you. And this is what you retort. Ready? Blame Pastor Spencer. Okay? Blame the word. So who's going to do that this week? Who's going to be accountable this week? The war is on. No. Today, I just believe that God can change our house. You know, one thing that I know is that this is a safe place. This is a safe house. But I want to make it safer. How many of you want to be safer? How many of you want to obey God? How many of you could care less? Don't raise your hand. Let me speak a blessing over you. Father,
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Lord, I speak life over this house in Jesus' name. I speak life over every soul that's in this room and those that are watching by live stream on the online campus. I declare that no weapon that formed against them shall prosper. I declare in the name of Jesus that sickness has no right in their homes. I declare, God, that depression, the power of it's got to be broken in Jesus' name. That, God, those that are losing hope will be filled with hope today because the word of faith is arising within their heart. I declare, God, that we are the blessed and not the cursed. That we are the prospering and not the withering. That we are those that are above the head and not the tail. I declare that those around us will say, I need to know the God you know because of the life you live. Father, I just declare that over this house in the name of Jesus. And everybody receiving it said, amen. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything in your life, come on up here. These folks will lay hands on you. They'll pray with you. They'll agree with you. God will work supernaturally. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet you at the guest reception. Make sure you meet us over there. We'd love to shake your hand this morning.